Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and physical therapy pearls of wisdom to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is really to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in. I love that we're talking about how hormones are playing a role in strength training and stretching, especially when it comes to longevity. And I love especially that women are thinking about strength training more. Now, as you are thinking about getting stronger, I have to have you look at your shoes. What are you wearing on your feet? Are you wearing running shoes as you're working out, creating that instability, that extra cushion of the foot? We don't need it. Kick off your shoes. Go barefoot or wear Vivo barefoot shoes. This is what I always recommend. When we have the proper space between our toes, we have the activation and stability to the bottom of the foot. This is what actually going to help to build strength and support of your foot. Beyond that, we have so many nerve endings in the foot. So if we have better connection to the ground, we have better connection into our muscles. Think hello glutes, hello core stability, hello actually reducing your risk of injury when you're doing heavier lifts. This is so crucial, getting that better feedback to the floor and being able to spread and utilize our feet to ground down so that we can really support and use our hips the way that we want to. And this is why, again, we push for Vivo barefoot shoes, especially in strength training, so much. So if you have not checked it out or you're interested in getting a pair specifically to start strength training in, I recommend the Modus. They're specific for strength training. Just use code OPTIMAL20. We have our exclusive podcast discount. It's going to get you 20% off shoes that are not already discounted. That is code OPTIMAL20. Now you can just go to vivobarefoot.com, but of course we're going to have that linked up in the show notes as well. OPTIMAL20 at checkout and get yourself into some better shoes when you're strength training.
Okay, so today with our PT Pearls, we're kind of continuing discussing things that tend to be topics that come up around perimenopause, postmenopause, but also postpartum with
postpartum.
You. We're talking today about estrogen and yes. How low estrogen can specifically affect our muscle mass and strength. And I just want to preface this all by saying, like, no, we're not endocrinologists.
No.
We're not giving any of this as specific advice on what you should do for low estrogen levels. If this is something you're experiencing, obviously try to get in touch with someone who is trained in the area. Mm-hmm. We're just talking through things that we found online and things in the research as to why we experience muscle loss and strength loss when we have low estrogen levels, and some practical tips and takeaways on what we might be able to do in the movement realm.
Yes.
To help our body navigate this space and navigate how we're feeling different during exercise.
And maybe help you feel a little validated, like I do in postpartum, when, you know, these changes are happening, these hormonal changes are happening within the body, and how we can safely start to navigate it. Because I think that's what's most important sometimes, especially postpartum when you're nursing. I'm exclusively breastfeeding, pumping. So I'm very much in this stage right now where it can feel hard to be like, well, why am I not gaining the muscle mass that I want to? Or why do I feel like I still am holding on to a lot of fat? And then in a lot of ways, I think there's still so much societal pressure on needing to look a certain way. And though that's changing a lot, and I'm very proud, understanding it a little bit deeper within what is practical within the research and what we can be doing to help support our body rather than, you know, try to think we need to fix something, I think is really important to understand.
Taking a quick pause from the episode to talk about something that has been so important to Jen and I in our journey to get pregnant and making sure Jen's nutrition was optimized in the prenatal and postpartum phases, and that is needed. Did you know that pregnancy and postpartum are some of the most nutritionally demanding times in a woman's life, and a mom and her baby's health now and for years to come is influenced by her nutrition status? The crazy thing is that over 95% of women in the perinatal stages have nutrient deficiencies, and this can still be true even if you're taking a generic multivitamin, because most prenatal vitamins include bare minimum nutrition based on outdated guidance and stale research. We deserve to thrive, not just survive. Needed offers radically better nutrition products, education, and advocacy rooted in clinical research and practitioner validation. So I invite everybody to head over to thisisneeded.com and use code OPTIMAL20 for 20% off your first order. That's THISISNEEDED.com and use code OPTIMAL20 off your first order. They have products for you at any phase of life, not just if you're in prenatal or postpartum stages. And they even have stuff for men that I took myself. So head over there, check them out, and start optimizing your nutrition today. Let's get back into the episode. Yeah. And initially, it might not make sense. Like most people will think of estrogen and it's just like, oh yeah, that's just like a women's sex hormone or a women's hormone. And a lot of people don't know about hormones and what they do.
Right.
And when you hear estrogen, or if you do know a little bit about hormones, you might think, oh, sex hormone. But hormones in general just have widespread impact around the body. Mm-hmm. There rarely are hormones that like do one thing. You know, yeah. Hormones do a breadth of things. And there's actually quite a few, when we looked into it, quite a few ways in which estrogen interacts with our muscle tissue. Mm-hmm. And that's why when we have lower estrogen levels, we see, you know, the degradation or lower amounts of muscle mass over time, because estrogen actually plays a huge role in muscle repair, regeneration, and metabolism. Mm-hmm. And to get some of the sciencey stuff out of the way, I'm going to talk about a few of those ways just so you can better understand like what estrogen is actually doing. So estrogen is essential for maintaining our muscle stem cells, which are called satellite cells, which are absolutely vital for muscle repair and regeneration after exercise. So having low estrogen means those satellite cells are either diminished in number or not doing as strong of a job. Estrogen can enhance muscle strength and force production beyond simply increasing muscle mass through something like those satellite cells. That's why we might have better muscle mass when we have proper estrogen levels. But this suggests that beyond just having better muscle mass, our estrogen may also improve the quality of muscle tissue, allowing for greater force output. I mean, there's a few other things like enhancing muscle protein synthesis, improving mitochondrial function in muscle cells, regulating myosin function, which myosin is a small little cell in our muscles that essentially help the muscle contract. They're like this little, the actin-myosin bridge, the myosin, you know, kind of crawl along, and better quality of myosin going to mean better contraction, better quality muscle tissue, and even down to regulating the collagen content in connective tissues. So, and that's just a few things that we found on initial search. So estrogen is clearly important in the quality of our muscle, the muscle mass, muscle regeneration, everything.
And just to touch on like its impact on menopause and strength, you know, I think it's essential to point out that postmenopausal women often experience a decrease in lean muscle mass, and studies have shown that estrogen deficiency contributes to that muscle atrophy and increased fat infiltration in the muscle tissue. So it's not all in your head. This is really happening, you know, and we see this kind of strength reduction with reduced estrogen levels being associated with decreased muscle strength and function. And this decline can really have an impact on daily activities and increase the risk of falls and fractures, which is especially something we need to be paying attention to as we age. But it's not just postmenopause, you know, it's also postpartum. It has a major role, especially in those who are exclusively breastfeeding. We see that estrogen remains low after childbirth due to the high prolactin levels in order to keep you producing that milk. And in similar ways, this hypoestrogenic state is so similar to perimenopause and menopause in terms of its effect that it has on tissue. So there's a study of Lowe et al. From 2010, and they looked at, in postpartum women, muscle strength and fatigue resistance were lower compared to your pre-pregnancy levels. And this effect may be influenced from hormonal changes, sleep deprivation, and physical deconditioning. So all areas to really, you know, pay attention to and be aware of. But other considerations for muscle loss and weakness are really multifactorial, especially in that postpartum stage, because we're not just talking about low estrogen at this point. We're also talking about sleep deprivation with, you know, nursing a crying baby all throughout the night, nutrient demands on breastfeeding and how much the baby is taking from your body. And so how much you need to like really replenish the body, reduced physical activity, especially if now you're caring for multiple children, and then your core and pelvic floor dysfunction. So really paying attention to all of these aspects are so incredibly important, because the areas, especially around our core and pelvic floor, are super vulnerable, especially postpartum, but even in perimenopause, because we have that weaker connective tissue, that muscle tone that's kind of decreased. And so especially when we have our pelvic floor that's supposed to help and hold everything up and you know, resist the immense pressure from sneezing and coughing and just more high impact activities, it's really important that this is when we're starting to really pay attention and incorporate direct pelvic floor and deep core training and understand how that's going to support our functional strength and stability. And that's where, rather than, you know, some people where they're going to be like, okay, avoid high impact exercise, avoid this. Well, no, let's understand how we can do that in a more functional and balanced way.
I think some of the stuff you're saying relates to our last PT Pro we did, which is on sit versus hit, and why sit, the sprint interval training, can be beneficial, because you're still getting the high intensity, but you're doing it with the proper recovery.
Right.
And that's a lot of what I'm hearing. And I think something that's important to talk about is the increased risk of injury that might come with this stage, like having lower elasticity of your muscles and tissues, having, you know, potentially lower quality of muscle tissue. And with that, with all the things I talked about that estrogen impacts in our muscle, we need to train a little more intelligently. And because we have the lower elasticity in our muscles, if we overstretch them or if we're doing quick movements that our body isn't prepared for, that's when we might be setting ourselves up for tissue injury, whether it be muscle or tendon, or, you know, having less support around the joints, you know, we might start to feel more aches in our joints as well. And that's where one of the recommendations is be gentle with stretching, you know, maybe focus before you do strength training or before you're getting into maybe even a HIIT or a sit workout, focus more on dynamic movements that are going to mimic the exercises that you're going to be doing. Yep. That's going to help your body start to get ready for a little more dynamic or a little more ballistic movement, where doing static stretches right before you get into loading the muscles probably isn't what we want to be doing, especially with reduced elasticity. We might be feeling stiff and sore, so we might feel like we need to stretch more, but in reality, we need more of that dynamic movement to better prep the tissues, where static stretching isn't going to be, I would say it's not going to be beneficial really at all before you start to do a loaded or a ballistic or dynamic movement workout. And then emphasize strength training, but do so intelligently. Again, we're not going to jump right in and start to do max level exercises without proper warm-up or without proper progression. That doesn't mean you can't be doing heavy weightlifting. That means if you haven't weightlifted or strength trained in a while, you shouldn't jump in doing one rep maxes right away or doing 80% of what you used to be able to do 20 years ago. You know, we want to start with slightly lower weights, higher reps, so that our body can start to experience that load, so that our muscles can react. And we want to make sure we have proper rest periods between lifts.
Yes.
As we talked about, our body's not recovering, is not repairing that muscle as quickly. So we need to give ourselves proper rest between lifts and proper rest between strength training sessions. So if you're just starting out, maybe you do a strength training session and see how you feel one day, 2 days after, before you go back in and do another session. Also prioritizing full body movements like a squat, a lunge, a deadlift, things that are going to load your whole body is going to be more efficient. It's going to help, you know, with some of the other potentially perimenopausal and menopausal things like bone density, and you're not going to have to do as many exercises to hit the full body.
Yes.
So that you're not going to overwork yourself in one specific workout.
And that reminds me of like our Strong Healthy Joints program where, you know, it really focused on minimizing how many exercises you're doing or doing
those
like
are my favorite strength workouts.
An hour to an hour and a half, you know, workout. Like, and we got so much incredible feedback from people who were like, oh yeah, it doesn't I don't have to be in the gym for an hour doing all these different exercises. I could feel so strong and good in my body and like I'm gaining strength by doing less.
It was a pet peeve of mine back in the day in college how just the gym rat bros would be in there for like 3 hours. And yeah, crazy. Like at that point it becomes their social hour and their time to hang out with friends, and so they're like they're getting something else out of it. I was also so busy in college that I'm just like I need to get this workout in an hour, and like I would have to jam and rush through things to get that in. But now doing these workouts that take a half an hour, and yes, I'm in a much different phase of life, a much different training phase of life, but how many exercises are in the workout total? There's two warm up, there's one main strength lift,
one main strength,
and then there's two, like four
accessory
exercises you do afterwards. But if you go through that, even with proper rest periods, you're 25 minutes, 30 minutes max.
Yes.
And you're still feeling sore the next day because you made sure to properly load your tissues. So yeah, prioritizing recovery is huge.
It's so important.
With low estrogen, especially.
And that's why I think, you know, really paying attention as your body is going through these different changes, especially for me in postpartum, it's like my body's been craving doing more mobility, doing more recovery, doing taking days of rest where it's like instead of just working out for 4 days straight, I'm like, okay, maybe I can do 1 to 2 days back to back, and then I'm gonna need a break and I'm gonna need that rest and recovery for my body. Like it's just, it's so crucial when we're in that low estrogen to help repair that muscle damage that's happening, because it can happen, you know, we need more of that muscle repair and sleep quality. Sleep, especially postpartum, already diminished, right? Yeah. Like my baby's now starting to sleep more, but now I'm getting up and pumping a little bit just to make sure, you know, there's so much about that. We're different subject, but I'm still not sleeping all throughout the night, right?
Yeah.
So we need so much to take care of our recovery and our rest. And I think that's so crucial, especially in this atmosphere where people are feeling like I need to do more. I need to add in this type of exercise and this type of exercise and this. And it's like, well, what are we doing to really recover? And that's not just a 5 minute cool down after your workout, but that's like really prioritizing that rest and that social interaction and the things that make you feel good and that sleep and that nutrition recovery as well. Like how am I replenishing my body, which isn't our area of expertise.
Yeah.
So we're not going to get into it a ton, but we have to just understand like, am I getting enough protein within my diet? Am I refueling my muscles in the way that they need that adequate support? Am I including more anti-inflammatory foods, you know, omega-3s, leafy greens, berries? Am I getting enough vitamin D, magnesium, collagen support? So all of these things are kind of things to start to look at or maybe talk to a registered dietitian about and understand where could I be missing that I could start adding these things in to help my muscle and my tendon recovery.
Yeah, I mean, it's the building blocks. And are you giving your body the building blocks it needs to support your hormone health, but also support the recovery and rebuilding of the muscle and tissues, the micro damage that we get from the exercise, which might be increased during times where we have low estrogen.
Right.
And I just want to like continue to emphasize this point of rest during the workouts, make sure you get good recovery between sets, rest between workouts, make sure you're allowed. And people might see that as like, oh, rest, but then I'm not having progress. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing anything to help myself progress. Like, no, you're actually doing exactly what you need to help your body progress. Because if you jump in before your body's ready for another workout, that's where we have more micro damage on top of the delayed recovery that we already had from the previous workout. And it starts to compound. And that's when we start to just wake up feeling sore and tired and out of it. And our hormone cascade starts to like go crazy. So again, rest does not mean you are not doing what you need to progress. It's exactly what you might need to progress.
Right.
And like Jen said, the social interaction, if you're not feeling up for another strength workout, call up a friend and go on a 30 or 40 minute walk.
Right.
That will be so much more beneficial for your body physically, mentally, emotionally, socially, yes, than it would to just go and hammer out another 30 minute HIIT workout or something, or
right,
heavy strength workout. So I just want to keep hammering that point home.
I know. And the body is changing. The body does change as we go through these different things. And so realizing you're not alone, it's a phase. And what can we start adding in to start helping in these different phases, right? But yeah, I think especially it's something that I remind myself of even in this postpartum period. Like, yes, I'm going to be holding on to a little more fat and I'm not going to have that muscle definition maybe that I had pre-pregnancy. And that's okay right now because personally, my main goal right now is to fuel my baby and to make sure he's fed.
That chubby little baby.
That's what I'm going for. So how can I support my body, not in how it looks, but in what it needs to fuel and function and be able to do it at its most optimal level, which still means I'm strength training like I am sore right now, but still making sure that I'm adding that proper recovery, adding in that proper nutrition and resting as much as I can with a toddler and a baby.
Yeah. And I think that the last thing that we'd be remiss if we didn't bring up, because it's obviously always a big part of the conversation when we're talking about hormones, is hormone replacement therapy.
Yes.
Again, we're not endocrinologists.
Not our area of expertise.
But the research has shown that hormone replacement therapy has been studied for its potential to mitigate muscle loss in postmenopausal women. And some research suggests that HRT can help preserve muscle mass and strength, though results are mixed and may depend on factors like dosage and duration, obviously. So again, if you're in this phase of life and have the ability to, consulting an endocrinologist, seeing if hormone replacement therapy might be able to benefit you, along with all the other lifestyle factor modifications, rest and recovery, things that we should be focused on, nutritional considerations, it's all a part of the picture. And it's all, you know, focusing on all these different areas is going to help you piece together the puzzle for what might work best for you.
Thanks so much for sticking around for another episode. I hope you learned a lot. And if you have anyone that you know in this phase of life or is trying to understand what they need prioritized, what they need in their life, please pass this episode along. We don't want you to get injured as you're adding all of these important aspects in. So it's so key and crucial that we're paying attention to how we're moving. And if you haven't seen, we have a new course out with Gait Happens. They are incredible feet experts, and we're going through all the stages of longevity within our body, what we need to be paying attention to. So this is especially crucial if you are in that perimenopause and postmenopause state. If you have not checked it out, we're in early bird pricing. So go check that in our show notes.